You probably wondered about us preachers a long time. Preachers are a little bit unique. They're a little different, aren't they? We are peculiar. We can't help that. It's part of our call. At one time, we were normal. We were normal. We were just like Laban. We acted like Laban. We talked like Laban. But when you're called into the ministry, you become a little more subtle, a little more divine, or debonair. You become a little more pastoral. You learn to say things to your parishioners like, I hear you. I hear you. Doesn't mean you'll do anything about it. But you say, I hear you. I hear you. You say things like, God bless you, brother. God bless you. You say peculiar things from the pulpit like, let's turn over in our Bibles. You would never think of saying that as a layman, but as a pastor, let's turn over in our Bible. We have a crowded church, and we say, if you're here, and we'd like to make a decision, you know, they're all going, we are here. We're just peculiar. We can't help it. We talk different. When you're really called into the ministry, you talk a little different. You go up high, and then you come down low. And you talk that way wherever you may go. You can't help it. You go up and then down. Up and down. All around. And that's just the way you do it. If you're really cold. Now, if you don't talk that way, you better check. You're cold. You can spot a preacher just about anywhere. You can go to the grocery store. And you can tell when a preacher walks in there and a little attendant comes up and says, sir, may I help you? And he says, do you have any broccoli?
Spears.
At a ball game, I'm a Baylor Bear. At a Baylor ball game, you know, laymen are going, oh, come on, Ryan, goodbye, mate. Pastor's going, hit him again. Hit him again. Hold that line. You can spot it. And you've often wondered, you deacons and deacon wives have wondered over the years that the pastor talks that way at home. When he's with his wife all alone. When she's in somewhat of an amorous mood. Some of you don't know what, laymen don't know what that word amorous means. Some of you preachers don't either. But it's that word that means basically when the pastor's with his wife at home all alone and she basically says, come here, shooky wooky boo. Hubba, 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 come to mama. You wonder if he talks that way then. You wonder if he says, I'll be there. In a minute. We preachers, we're peculiar. But we're normal in a lot of ways. Man, I remember when I was a little boy, raised in Austin, Texas, just part of a middle-class family. We were middle to lower class. Some said lower class, but some said no class. Some just said low. Of course, the Bible says low, I'm with you always. I remember one time I was sitting in the church as a little boy trying to pay attention to the sermon. It's difficult at times. You deacons know how that is. You know, you try real hard to pay attention. But sometimes it's just tough. Sometimes it's just boring. You know what I mean? It's just, he's shucking the corn, but in such a way it just sort of puts you right to sleep. You know what I mean? And it just happens. We know that happens. And you're tempted to take the bulletin and fill in the zeros and the B's and the D's during the sermon. Don't feel bad about that. I did that 3 Sundays ago. And I was preaching, you know. That's what was so bad about it. I just filling them in myself. So it happens to all of us. But I remember this little boy in this Methodist church. I was raised a Methodist. These things happen in life. You know, I was raised a Methodist, and I was trying to listen to the preacher. I was sitting with my buddies, and the preacher was preaching using a rhetorical question. Now, y'all know what a rhetorical question is. That's the kind of question that he asks that he wants you to think about in your heart. But he, by all means, don't answer out loud. Of course, I did not know that as a little boy, sitting there with my buddies. Never will get he was preaching something about sin. He sort of hollered it out. What should we do with sin? And I sat there with my buddies going, well, someone answer the dude, you know what I mean? No one answered the fella. So I felt sorry for him. And sure enough, instead of a second time, this time he started meeting for us. What should we do with sin? And I thought, if this fella asked that one more time, I'm going to answer him. But of course, I use a different voice because I don't want my mama to know that it was me that answered the fella. And so I decided I'd use that voice to go Barney Fife or Don Knotts on Andy Griffith's show. Sure enough, third time, this time he started crying. You know, preachers say things three times. We love to repeat ourselves and say things three times. It's part of the Hebraic expression. In the Hebrew, they did not know how to say this is good, and this is best, and this is better, you know, or something like that. They would just say good, good, good. And they did. Like when they thought of God as holy, they'd say holy, 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 three times. We carry that over into the New Testament and to preaching today. We repeat things three times. Every point three times. That's why we get out of church after 12. But anyhow, it's just part of life, and you need to understand that. But sure enough, third time he whispered, cried, what should we do with sin? So I just answered him in the voice of Don Knotts, and I said, nip it in the bud. Now listen, baby, you got to nip it in the bud. Nip it, nip it, nip it. Well, the next thing I knew, I was sitting there between my mama and my dad. I mean, you know how that happens. My daddy's name is Floyd Leon. My dad is 6'2", 220 pounds. Floyd Leon. My mother is 5 foot tall. Her name is Pauline Bernadine. I'm telling you the truth. I'm thankful that I came out with Dennis. I could have come out with Ermal Elroy. Now, if there's an Ermal Elroy here tonight, you don't feel bad. You are literally one in a million. Next thing I knew, I was sitting between them at church. Daddy didn't like to create disturbance. So he just put his hand gently behind my head and thumped me on the back of the head with his finger. Those hands that had picked cotton all his life, no blood vessels in that hand at all. Just callous, tough hand. Just boom! Boom! Right. I saw visions. But and when I jerked, surely you jerk when they thump you in the back of the head. You can't help but jerk, but we were disciplined in that day and time not to holler out when you had pain in church. Now at home you scream like murder, but in church you boom, boom, boom. You knew if you cried out there in church, he'd whoop you real good at home. So you jerk a little bit, and then mother thinks she's on the other side. She thinks she needs to get in on the action. Mother would reach up and grab me by the hanging down part of the arm. She would pinch, and that was not the bad part. It was when she pinched and twisted. It would sort of paralyze you. I mean, it still works to this day. I'm 33, and my little wife, 4'11", weighs 100 pounds, and when she pinches and twists, I go, you can't talk, you can't move. Well, you jerk just a little bit, you get sort of a spasm in your body, and then Daddy thought I was acting up again. Boom! Boom! And so I can't help it. I'm the way I am. Even tonight, you know, I think it's a direct effect of the salt and battery back there in church. But anyhow, they knew that problem, child. Oh, I remember those days I'd leave the house to go to school. Oh, those days were the days, weren't they? Oh, they were something. I remember I'd be walking out of the house with my old blue jeans, football jersey, boots, walking on out of the house. My mother would stop.
You have nicer clothes to wear than what you have on.
As a mom, everybody wears them.
I said, you have nicer things to wear.
I bet your teachers don't think we have a dime. I said, well, we don't.
Well, you can look nicer.
And then she said, I wonder what your teachers think of your mother.
I said, Mom, you don't go to school up there. She said, you are a reflection of your mother. And I went, Lord have mercy.
Then I shook up thinking.
Finally, I'd head on out of the house. My daddy would be out there in the driveway or something, you know. And I'd go up to my dad. My dad and I have always really had a real open relationship. I said, Dad, what is the matter with Mom?
Old Floyd said, she's going through a stage.
Of course, I didn't know what a stage was then.
What's funny is now he's going through a stage.
I'm serious. He's 58 years old, and some of you 58-year-olds know what I'm talking about. At least some of you ladies can look at me and go, please help. Please help. My dad, for instance, I'll call home. I'm 33 years old. I've got all the degrees that I need. I got a job. I got a church. Been on my own. Haven't lived at home since I was 18. Have a wife, two kids. Life's going fine. But whenever I call home, mother, you know, she's usually the first one to pick up the phone. Dad's sitting in the ladies' bar. And she said, hello. I said, Mom, this, how y'all doing?
Oh, Cloud, it's Steve. Steve is not about how y'all doing
down the
boys.
How long? Just talking down. You know, blah, blah, blah. And then Daddy comes on one of these, he splurred about a year ago, got one of these portable phones
with an antenna on. Hello, Dad, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. And he talked,
okay, how's the church going? Good. I think you've been going out speaking too much. You need to just stay home at your church. Good. Now you go too much. People talk. We know we talk about our preacher. But, you know,
and I said, well, you know, Dad, it's just part of life. All of a sudden, after a few minutes, he can't hold back any longer.
All of a sudden, he says, Dan, have you checked your oil in your car, Lou?
I'm 33. I said, well, I think it's doing just fine.
He said, what kind of oil you use, son? I don't know what kind they put in there.
I said, so I just picked one out. I know this is lying, but it's easier to get forgiveness than permission, so I just go ahead. And plus it gets his blood pressure up so high. So I said, Lord, forgive me. I said, oh, Penzol.
He said, that's pretty good. Oh, I don't want to use that.
He said,
I've always started on this Quaker thing. This Quaker thing is pretty good. It wouldn't let them change all.
I said, oh, I think a few weeks ago. He said, oh, that's good. Finally, I had to break down to Dad. I use Exxon. I said, Kenneth and Saginaw. Exxon takes care of my car and everything.
Oh, man, good night. You can save $5 if you do it yourself.
He's just going through that stage. Matter of fact, I know he's going through the stage because Mama tells me he's in the stage. You know, when we talk to her and he's out, you know, he can't talk long. That's another thing. He'll be on there about 10 minutes.
Well, y'all go ahead and talk. I'd rather head on out here in the garage and do something.
So he can't stay on the phone long. Then Mother said, I'm concerned about your phone. I said, is he faithful? Oh, Lord, have mercy. He's fine. I said, well, what's the problem with Daddy then? He's in a rut. I said, a rut? She said, on Monday nights, we eat at Louie's. On Tuesday, we eat at Furb's. On Wednesdays, we eat at church. I take the money. On Thursdays, we eat at Louie's again. And I would just like to eat somewhere nice one time. I said, is that all it is?
Yes, it means something to me.
Have you ever said anything to Daddy God?
I would never say anything to your father, God.
I said, let me handle it. So I called Dad up a couple of days later in his office. I said, Dad, have you ever thought about taking Mom out to somewhere like Steak and Ale?
He said, we went one time. And I said, well, was it good? It was tremendous.
I said, well, why don't you go there more often?
Did you know they charge you extra for a baked potato? He said, I go to K-Bob, $5.95, get the whole thing, you know, but anyhow.
So he's in that kind of stage. We all go through stages. I went through stages. I remember when I was in high school, I'd be going on a football field. And I'd sing country music.
And I'd go off the football field, I'd take my helmet off, put it over my head, and sing country like Hank Williams.
Your cheating heart will make you
talk about this thing.
Come say it. Someone pull a groin?
I said, no, that's old Swanberg. He's just singing.
He's a good help someone hurt them things.
I'd get in the locker room. You remember how the locker rooms were? Just big old room, pipes coming out of the floor, 6 nozzles per pipe, water spewing everywhere. If you have soap, fine. If not, just get in there and get wet. Hopefully got some towels, you know, when you get through, not just drip dry. I remember many times I'd be in there singing country music. I'd get carried away and grab that nozzle like a microphone. Don't do that. I sang tenor for 2 years. But just be careful. Especially with them water pick kind. And I remember I'd find out, head on home. Go home, there'd be my little mama, Pauline Bernadine. Many times I'd come home, she'd want a hug. She's a hugger. Loves to hug her kids. I had an older sister and a younger sister. I was the only boy, middle child. You know how middle children are problems. She was looking at one. My mother spoiled me rotten. My daddy whooped me good. Daddy was the law, mama was the grace. Holy Spirit enjoyed me. But anyhow, you know, just started watching hovering over. I remember she'd want a hug. On some occasions, she wanted clean ears. She's just that type of woman. Many of you women have done that, but you're acting like you wouldn't dare do that. I'd come home, she'd have a Sucrete box in her hand. I'd come walk in, she'd open up the Sucrete box, pull out one of them bobby pins out of there. Just dig in there. Sort of like a front end loader, you know what I mean? Man, life, I said, Mama! Boy, you know how you go so deep the tears come out of your eyes. I said, Mama, you can bust something in there. She says, your ears are filthy. I would be ashamed. I would literally be ashamed. I said, well, I feel just fine about my ears. I said, the doctor said don't go any further than the thumb can go anyway. And she said, doctors don't know everything. And besides, they probably have dirty ears. But, you know, that's mom. Now, I've got to share this with you folks. I did not know that Sucrets were throat lozenges until I went to Baylor University. I'm serious. I remember I was going down the hall in a Baylor dorm, Martin Hall, Baylor University, and I was going down the hall and I looked into a room and there was a guy in there who happened to have a Sucrete box open and just taking one foot in his mouth. I didn't know him from Adam. I went into his room, I said, don't put that in your mouth. He said, what am I going to do with it? I said,